Welcome back to the Westwolf Podcast. I'm your host, J.D. Jackson. As always, you can find me on Twitter, J.D. Jackson at the Westwolf Pod, and on YouTube at J-Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Guys, Los Angeles Clippers basketball is back. They played their first preseason game in Hawaii versus the Utah Jazz. Look, don't care about the score. They didn't win the game in the end. The Stars played the first half of the game, and we'll get into what we saw from the starters and Stars right here on the Westwolf Podcast. But first, I have to ask you, please, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, CastBox, and much, much more. So please, please hit that subscribe button. Now let's get it. Welcome back, guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Westwolf Podcast. The Los Angeles Clippers did play a preseason NBA basketball game. I was super excited. Look, I know some people are like, it's just preseason. I'm not worried about the score, anything like that. There are certain things that you're looking for within the game in the preseason, building chemistry, what their philosophies are, all the things they've been saying during training camp. You want to see that on the court. And I think I did for the most part. We're going to get into all that right here. First, I do want to say Russell Westbrook, their starting Hall of Fame point guard, he did not play in this one, coach's decision. Batum did not play in this one, coach's decision as well. We did see the other two stars in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Now, also Marcus Morris Sr. did not play in this one. I think he has kind of a groin injury going on right now, so he didn't play in this one as well. But Paul George, you know, he played 15 minutes on the night. He had 8 points, 2 of 3 from three, 3 of 7 from the field, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I thought he also had 2 steals, I believe, and only 1 turnover. I thought he looked amazing. I mean, he had a couple of plays where he was crossing over spin moves, and he was looking absolutely amazing in midseason form. The 3-ball looked really good. Nothing but net. I thought Paul George was excellent in this game. I also thought he was very disruptive defensively and defensively sound on and off the ball. I was very happy with the way that Paul George played and just how he looked. Again, not worried about the score. I don't care that it's only 8 points, like none of that, but 5 rebounds in 15 minutes, 2 assists, 2 steals, 8 points, 1 turnover. He just looked like he wasn't rusty, which is what I was expecting. I was expecting that not just because of the offseason, but he missed the last part of the season and the playoffs due to injury. So I thought he was going to be a little bit rusty, and that wasn't the case. I was very impressed with how Paul George moved and how he played. Kawhi Leonard played the same amount of minutes. He played 15 minutes. He had 4 of 8 from the field, 1 of 3 from three. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals himself, I believe. So he had 11 points on the night. I think he got to the free throw line a couple of times. I thought Kawhi Leonard looked good. I'm excited about Kawhi Leonard. He had the ACL injury 2 years ago. He did, tear the meniscus. But, the meniscus is, like he said himself, it's just kind of a cleanup. The swelling goes down, and then, you just get used to it or, get more comfortable in your injury, and then you just play. It's nothing like the ACL tear that he had a couple years ago. So I'm excited for the season for him. I think we're going to see big things from Kawhi Leonard. I thought he looked really good, really strong. He hustled on defense. He was disruptive as well. There was a play that I thought was great lead by example where he tipped the ball out, and clearly the Jazz player was going to get it and went over to the other side of half court, and he still chased it down to require that the Jazz player continue to chase it down as well. I mean, just good leadership by example. He could have sat there knowing that that Jazz player was easily going to receive the ball or it's going to go out of bounds out on Kawhi. But he still made the extra hustle play in a preseason game. And stuff like that matters. That matters in the grand scheme of things when you're trying to build chemistry and build good habits, because you previously have not had those good habits. So excellent by Kawhi Leonard. Excellent leadership. Very happy. And just for both of the two stars that did play in this one, it's great leadership that they went out there and they played the way that they did. Like, they played hard. They said they're going to take the regular season serious and they can't take any shortcuts. And when two of your stars, your first and second option, go out there and they're playing hard on offense and they're playing hard on defense, that matters. That's leading by example. Now, I understand, and I think it makes sense that they wanted Russell Westbrook, the vocal leader that he is, holding himself accountable first and then everyone else. but it means something entirely different when your other two stars are leading by example like that in game one of a preseason. That's amazing. That's amazing. Can't say enough about both of them. Someone I want to talk about who was super exciting to watch was Bones Hyland. Look, I still have my trepidations of him being ready to run an offense at this point in his career. I think that that's going to change as long as he's playing next to and behind Russell Westbrook, one of the greatest point guards of all time, one of the greatest players of all time. So I do believe that that will change, but I don't think he's ready yet to just lead an offense during the regular season and playoffs, in my opinion. But man, is he so fun to watch. I mean, he had a couple of good dimes in this. We had four assists on the night, 18 points. He played 24 minutes, so he played a bit more than the rest of the than Paul George and Kawhi. 7 of 14 from the field. Like, he did not hit a three in this one. He was 0 of 6. People have off nights. I'm not too worried about that. Three rebounds, four assists on the night, and I believe he only had two turnovers himself. He also had two blocks. So I thought that that was interesting to me from Bones Highland. Look, he's just super fun to watch. He gets out in the open field. He had a couple of great finishes, a couple of great passes. I didn't think he was great out in space at the point of attack, but he was working hard. You can tell he was competing, like we saw in the preseason videos of them in training camp. I was happy to see. I'm excited to see what Bones Highland does. I'm hoping that he's truly the backup point guard. I'm hoping that when Russ comes off, Bones comes in, and so we can see what he can do. Like I said, I'm still worried about him running an offense for 30 plus minutes a night. That'll be Russell Westbrook's job. But I'm excited to see the other 15 to 18 minutes that he'll get, depending on Russell Westbrook's workload on any given night. Terrence, man, I don't know, man. He's been in a lot of rumors. And I don't think that that's easy for him to deal with. I think all players know it's a business, but it would be foolish not to think that it doesn't seep into your mind a little bit when those things are happening. But I thought Terrence Mann was a little bit in his head. I thought he was a little bit unsure, but I think it'll get better as the season ends. If I can tell, the veterans can tell. Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Kawhi. I'm sure they'll. Hey man, just be you. You know what I mean? Just hoop. That's all you have to do. And so, I know he's been in a lot of rumors, and I know Clippers fans love Terrence Mann. So, I think he'll come together. But I wasn't sure. I just watched his minute. I'm gonna watch his minutes again because I got a few clips I want to put out there and talk about for everyone. But he just seemed like he wasn't sure of himself in this one. But it's preseason game one, right? And so, you got Russell Westbrook, Plumlee, you've got KJ, things like that. And so it's just game one. We'll see how he does. That's just my observation after one. And he played 18 minutes on the night. Let's talk a little bit about KJ, Kenyon Martin Jr. In my opinion, Kenyon Martin Jr. is definitely a three. I don't think he's a four or a five, but I understand what Ty Lue says he wants to use him as. And I guess it's kind of positionless offensively. But defensively, he's very much a three, in my opinion. But he showed a little bit of athleticism in this one. Had a couple, he's had some. He had four rebounds on the night, I believe. No, he had eight. I apologize. He had four offensive. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Eight rebounds on the night. 7 points. One turnover. I thought he was showed some leaping ability and some and his motor. I'm not worried about KJ at all. I think when KJ is going to pop off, it'll be with Russell Westbrook. So I don't want to take too much into game one of thinking what he can contribute or cannot contribute. Because when they sign or when they trade for Kenyon Martin Jr., my first thought was, oh my gosh, him with Russell Westbrook. And so I think that'll be a lot of fun. And that's when you'll see him shine the most. So that's my opinion on Kenyon Martin Jr. Don't fret too much. He's 3 of 9 from the field. He did his lone corner three. I do want to point out that I think that is a big deal. If KJ can hit the corner three at a consistent clip, they're going to be wide open, like the one he got was from Paul George. I believe Paul George is the one who gave it to him. They're going to be wide open. If he can hit that at a great clip, that's going to be huge for the Clippers, especially if he can be sound defensively. I'm a little bit worried about him defensively. We'll see what he brings to the table on that end. But if he can be a 3 and D and be solid, he doesn't even have to be exceptional. You're on a court with Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, who are really good point of attack defenders. He just has to be good. You know, not excellent, not elite. He just has to be good and hit the corner three. That'll be huge for the Los Angeles Clippers. Now, we're going to pause here. But when we come back, we're going to talk about what I saw from the team as a team so that we can get into that. All right, so now we're going to talk about the team aspect of everything. This is the part that I actually found very exciting moving forward as far as what I expect to see. Oh, by the way, I didn't talk about Powell. He seemed rusty. Right now, he just couldn't buy a basket. He still got to the free throw line, which is something that he does. But I'll wait to critique, you know, how I feel like he's looking and feeling maybe after Tuesday's game or the game after that. He just didn't seem like he was quite in rhythm, things like that. So I just didn't want to use this game to gauge Powell at all. But yeah, so let's move on. Talk about the team aspect. I did think that I'm super excited about how fast the Los Angeles Clippers play basketball. They spoke all camp long about how they were going to play faster and more in transition. And Russell Westbrook, I put out a video of him saying, oh yeah, we going to run with a smile on his face. Like, you guys are about to see something special. And it was great to see them run. I mean, they got out in the open court, moving the ball, alley-oop dunks, layups, great finishes, just moving. And I thought that was tremendous. And it has me excited about what we're going to see as they build that chemistry in the open court going forward. They were cutting in the half court. And that's what I found the most exciting is they were even playing faster than they did last season in the half court. It wasn't dribble, 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 wait down to the last seconds of the shot clock. It was they were getting into their sets. I mean, Bones was cutting back door. Paul George was cutting back door. I mean, Plumlee was at the elbow making great passes. It was just beautiful basketball to watch. They weren't just playing faster in the open court after a miss or a steal or a block. They were playing faster also in the half court, and that excites me. That makes me excited because they were cutting and moving off the ball. There were screens. Ball was moving side to side. It was just great. And that just goes to show you that everything that they told us during training camp, after all of these practice, is finding its way onto the basketball court in the preseason games, which makes you believe that they can bring it into the regular season as well. As long as they keep doing this over the next couple weeks for the preseason, I'm a believer and I'm excited to see how this all comes together. And so I'm excited about this, man. Like, that offense, you know, they had times in the second quarter where I think you can tell their Hall of Fame point guard didn't play. They were kind of a little bit chaotic at times, but that's to be expected with any team whose starting point guard isn't playing, right? They're the floor general. They you know, galvanize the troops to get everybody in their sets, give everybody the ball where they like it, things like that. And so when your starting point guard is not out there, that's something you would expect. But that first quarter and a half was super fun to watch. And I think it's only going to be enhanced by bringing back your first ballot lock Hall of Fame point guard in Russell Westbrook, one of the greatest point guards to ever play, one of the greatest players to ever play the sport of basketball. So I think it's only going to be better. It's going to be on steroids when Russell Westbrook returns on Tuesday night. So, by the way, again, per at Kelly Johnson TV, Russell Westbrook and Robert Covington will be starting on Tuesday versus the Jazz. So I'm super excited about that as well. And so I'm excited about the offense, and I'm excited to see it with Russell Westbrook, and I'm excited to see it grow over the next few preseason games and into the regular season. They truly practiced what they preached on that offensive end as far as playing faster and getting the ball to shooters early in the shot clock who are wide open. And so, yeah, super excited. Nothing to complain about there. not worried about some of the chaotic play in the second quarter. Your point guard will return. He'll get, you know, his game legs back, things like that. We'll be ready to go. Now, let's talk about defensively. I'm also excited about what I saw defensively, but I'm going to be completely honest and transparent. Now, I thought that they were very disruptive. They were blocking shots, getting turnovers left and right on the Utah Jazz. And so I'm super excited about what I saw. And that's what you want. You want a disruptive defense. You want defense that brings fear into the opposing team. The Utah Jazz had 20 turnovers compared to the Clippers 12. So there were plus 8 on the board as far as turnovers were concerned. And it was truly just excellent defense. Something that it seems like they're trying to do on purpose is they're trying to turn the ball handler away from the help, and then the help is digging that ball out when it's in the post. That happened multiple times in this game. Too much for me to think this is just incidental or this is just purely just instinct. It happened over and over again, and so I think that's kind of by design, and I like it, and I love it. The easiest way to get a steal is the safest steal to have, and that's with the ball handler's back turned. They have no idea where you're coming, and so it's, you know, it's low risk, high reward if you get that steal, and it happened quite a bit. So I'm super excited about that. I thought that they really did dig in, and they really are trying to be this disruptive defense that gets out, that's able to get their offense out in transition and score easy points. Robert Covington's long, Kawhi, Paul George, they're long. Bones Highland, he even had a few blocks himself. I mean, they were excellent defensively in stretches and on certain possessions. Now, I'll be completely honest. There were some possessions where it seemed like the Jazz were able to get right to the rim. And so you just want those to be few and far in between. Like NBA basketball players, they're too good to never get into the paint, right? All 450 of them. So I don't want to harp on it too much, but there were definitely some times where it seemed like it was way too easy to get to the rim. And so we'll see. We'll see. It's going to happen on occasion. You just don't want it to be too much. I do still have my trepidations about Powell's defense, in my personal opinion. And Bones really dug in. He dug in hard. I still worry about him at the point of attack just a little bit. But that's why, you know, you're out there with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Robert Covington, these long arms, excellent defensive IQ, and especially and all three of them, excellent as well. So very, very excited about the defense as well. Let's just build on that. You know, just build on that, continue to get better. This was how disruptive they were in preseason game one, and it was very disruptive. You just build on that, and now I can just imagine how good the defense is going to be by the time we get to January, things like that. And so I'm excited. It's good basketball. I'm still, you know, got my trepidations about the four. Marcus Morris Sr. did not play. Like I said, I think he had a groin injury. Batum did not play, coach's decision. So hopefully Robert Covington, you know, he starts Tuesday like what was reported by at Kelly Johnson TV. And we'll see how he looks. And we'll see how he looks in that starting lineup with Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Zubac, and see how that looks. See if that's better. You know, as I thought, the four was our glaring weakness in the playoffs. So we'll see how this looks. Now, we'll get into one more thing that I know people want to hear about. We'll get into the James Harden rumors. Now, it was recently reported that James Harden, you know, he's still trying to make his way out of Philadelphia with the 76ers. And then Woj reported that the Clippers would like to get a deal done sooner rather than later. On all accounts, from what I understand, is that is true. So, again, people have their trepidations about whether he would fit or not. Even I do. I understand he's James Harden, one of the greatest scorers to ever play the game, a great creator as well. So it depends on how you feel. I do have my trepidation because the Clippers truly were trying to play faster in that first preseason game. And that historically just isn't really what Harden wants to do. He's more methodical, wants to play at a slower pace. So if you're planning on playing quick and you bring on James Harden, we'll see how that works. I'm not sure. I'm not going to say he can't. Anything like that. it does make me give me cause to pause just a little bit. But when it comes to Ty Lue's drive and kick offense, James Harden makes all the sense in the world. So just depends on how you feel about that. From all accounts that I've been told that I understand is that is 100% factual. They are trying to get a deal done sooner rather than later for James Harden. Now, if I'm the Clippers, I don't give up anything I don't want to give up if the only team that's calling is the Clippers. I know Daryl Morey wants equal value, but you never really get equal value for stars in the NBA. But if no one else is trying to get James Harden, I don't blame them for not wanting to give up anything they don't want to give up. Now, you can have your opinion on whether or not you believe that man is worth giving up, for James Harden, things like that. If James Harden's worth giving up man, things like that. But I kind of get their position of Lawrence Frank, which is if we're the only ones calling, I don't have to give you anything. Now, does that make the deal get done later rather than sooner? I don't know. I don't know that Daryl Morey and the 76ers want to go into the regular season with James Harden on the roster if he doesn't want to be there. So it just depends. I don't know when it'll happen. I do know that what's being said is true. They are trying to get him. Now, in my opinion, it's going to have to be a third team to enhance the offer if they don't want to give up certain players. So they have to get another team involved. Maybe that's some of the hangup. Those other teams aren't ready to give up that, those first round picks and things like that for James Harden. Well, for the Clippers to get James Harden and them get someone else. So we'll have to see. But yes, on all accounts, it's true. And Kawhi and Paul George, Russell Westbrook would be happy to have him. And so we'll see. Now, if you think that the Clippers are not ready, are not built to win a championship now, I would surmise that you believe that James Harden enhances that chance. He's James Harden. So maybe the Clippers know that, and that's why they're trying to get another key piece, another piece that can get their own shot and create. Right now, I think the best creator on the team is Russell Westbrook, and personally, I don't think that it's really that close. I think Kawhi and Paul George are, their gravity allows for them to make great passes, but I think the best creator on the team is Russ, and so maybe they want another one, and they think that enhances their chances at a championship. So, on all accounts, from what I'm being told, it is true, and they do want this deal done before the regular season, so we will see. But guys, thank you guys for listening. Right here is where I'll break things. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Westwood Podcast. I am your host, JD Jackson. As always, you can find me on Twitter, JD Jackson at the Westwood Pod, and on YouTube at J Rock Soccer and Basketball Sessions. Thank you guys so much for listening to the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. I will have a space probably on Wednesday. I didn't want to do it after this game. My kids are out of school, things like that. Just, spend some family time together. So, but we will on Wednesday. I'll have a space on Twitter so we can all talk and converse about the first two games of the regular season. But guys, remember, please, please hit that subscribe button. I'm on all the major podcast platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, Castbox, and much, much more. So please, please hit that subscribe button. And as always, until next time.